You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I'm going to focus all my show on the Democratic debate that most of you probably were not aware of, and even fewer people, even if you were aware of it, watched. I certainly did not watch it last night for the simple reason I don't have a television at home, and even if I did, I would not have watched it. Now, one of the challenges for people that do talk radio, including me, is having to watch material or people that we normally don't listen to and don't want to listen to because their ideas are rather bankrupt. And that includes the people that were on the stage last night. I'm going to focus in on really two, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, for the simple reason the other two candidates, for all practical purposes, they're so low in the polls that they don't have a chance. And frankly, Bernie Sanders is still, while popular maybe on college campuses, as well amongst the socialists, the communists, the far left in this country, he's never going to get elected. Because who are the big supporters? The really large supporters of the Democratic Party. Now, the Democratic Party would like you to believe they're the party of the common man, the forgotten man, to use a phrase that Franklin Roosevelt used in, I believe it was his first radio speech. I might be wrong on that. It could be his inaugural speech. They're not. And you need to go no further than who contributes to their campaigns. Two major groups that have a lot of money. There are many more. Actually, I'll say three. One is Wall Street. Remember, Wall Street's in New York City, and the executives of these firms are largely Democrats. I'm not saying everyone, but are largely Democratic supporters. And they're part of the donor class, as is Donald Trump. But when you're talking just New York City and the financial services sector, the majority are Democrats, and they provide campaign contributions to the candidates that they believe will do the most for them. They want access, and they want things done, so they give money, a lot of money. Many of these people are not only multimillionaires, they're billionaires. So why Bernie Sanders may be entertaining, or a little bit entertaining, and definitely is popular with the socialists, the far left, the socialists, the commies, he's not popular with the major group that the Democratic Party relies on for a significant portion of their campaign contribution, is that's the financial sector. Those are investment banks, commercial banks, large investment banks, many of them that were bailed out during the last financial crisis in 2008-2009. So they know where their bread is buttered, and they know what they have to do to make sure that what they want, they get. Like Obama, Hillary Clinton is very much bought and paid for by a number of people, and money is key here. Now, another group that really historically donates almost, not entirely, but almost entirely to the Democratic Party are the executives of large corporations, as well as their employees, the stars, namely the Hollywood crowd, as well as the gay mafia in Hollywood. So they're all in the tank or supporting Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has locked up a lot of money. And that's probably the one and only reason I can see why Joe Biden won't get in the race. In other words, Hillary Clinton did just like Jeb Bush did. He tried to lock up as much of the money he could as early as possible. And remember, Hillary Clinton is part of the Clinton network, and Bill Clinton is still popular, and they have a network of people that have given to their campaigns over the years, both in Arkansas as well as when he ran for the presidency. So money is not necessarily a problem for them. And that's why last night's performance, and I've looked at various clips as well as read various analysis, Hillary Clinton won that debate. She had to win it. She at least had a tie, but it wasn't a tie. She clearly won. And that's the consensus view. Now, there are people that are strong Bernie Sanders supporters that believe Bernie won. That's only natural. But he did not take Hillary Clinton out. And that was the problem with all the other people on the stage. Unlike the Republican Party, where literally everyone was trying to take Donald Trump out one way or the other, that's not the case with this Democratic debate. And probably the best line of the night was given by Bernie Sanders, and he prefaced his remarks that this is probably not the political thing to do, but the American people are sick of hearing about your emails. And that got an applause. Is probably the best applause line all night. And Mrs. Clinton was happy about that because Bernie is her leading contender in terms of in the polls. He's far behind her, though. And the reason is Bernie will never be able to win. Let's say he was nominated for the Democratic Party, be on the top of the table. He never would win. The American people will never vote him in. And for that matter, neither will the donor class. There'll be some, but most of the donor class is not going to elect a socialist, period. Full stop. So Bernie came in second. The other three people you can forget about, whether it's Martin O'Malley, Jim Webb, or Lincoln Chafee, and they got very little time. And even the little time they got, they didn't really perform very well. For that reason, there's only two people in that Democratic race that really matter. Now, if you compare that with the Republican race, Donald Trump is actually extending his lead over Ben Carson. But there are at least three people that are still contenders, namely Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, and probably two others would be Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. You still have in the Republican Party, I would say, five people that are contenders. However, Donald Trump is, he's in the 30s, solid 30, and he's leading by typically 10 points or more. The important point is the trend. What is the trend? Donald has consistently, with some periods of bouncing down, has continued to increase his percentage in the polls. He is the front runner. He's getting the attention, and I think if this trend continues, he will be the Republican candidate, and he will go on to defeat Hillary Clinton. He's in it to win, just like Hillary Clinton is in it to win. The advantage Trump has, he's self-financing. He's paying for the primary run. Now, once he gets the nomination, he'll still be contributing to his campaign, but he will be getting additional money from the Republican Party, as well as the usual donors that give to the Republican ticket. Because you need to understand, whoever is in the top of the ticket, whether it's the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, and this is key here, can either help people that are not at the top of the ticket, let's say running for the House or the Senate. And right now, the leader is in the Republican Party, Donald Trump, and in the Democratic Party, definitely Hillary Clinton. Now, the question is, who also won? If Hillary won, who also won? I think Donald Trump did. I really do believe this helps Donald Trump. And why? Two reasons. Three reasons. Hillary Clinton, while does get favorable ratings with the woman vote, does not get favorable ratings with the men. And I'm a good example of it. I'll go out of my way to vote against her. With a few exceptions, I would vote just so I can vote against her. And there are millions like me. She's not liked by men. And because of the issue that is haunting her, and she's, I think, is going to, it's sort of impossible for her to overcome this. people don't trust her because she has a reputation for lying. And because of that, if people decide, and many already have, that she's a notorious liar and you can't trust her, there's no way they're going to change their mind. In other words, they've made up their minds that Hillary Clinton, they simply will not vote for her. And many of them are Democrats. It's not just Republicans, a lot of Democrats, but even more so amongst the independents. Because keep in mind, if you're new to the show, I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I could care less who wins. And the reason is this: both parties are big government parties. And what's happening is more and more Democrats and Republicans, or I should say former Democrats and former Republicans, are leaving the party and have left it. Where independents are becoming a larger percentage of the number of people that are what their political affiliation is. Right now, it's somewhere in the 40% range. For the Democratic Party, it's about 30%. For the Republican Party, it's about 25%. And if you listen to past shows, my prediction is very simple. When the number of independents reaches a tipping point of about 50%, and we're not there yet, and it might take one or more elections before we're there, but at some point in time in the future, and I hope sooner than later, but it could be 10, 20 years. But once it's clear that the number of independents are solidly above 50%, in other words, solidly the majority, what is going to happen at that point? There'll be a new political party. And as a result of that, one and maybe even both parties, Democrat and Republican, will become minority parties. Like I said, I'm not making any prediction as to when, but I'll tell you the event that's going to make it happen, and that's when the independents, not for one poll, but for many polls, are clearly in the 50% range or higher. Over time, Gallup does surveys, polls, and over time, what has happened, the number of independents, people that consider themselves independents, has gone up. Why? Because they feel, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, they're being lied to, misled by the leadership of both parties. Both parties really are not concerned about their concerns. And because of that, they've had enough. They've had enough of whatever party that they formerly were. Now, these people still vote. And many of them, if there's a candidate that they like, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, will vote for. But if it's a candidate that they cannot stand and don't trust, which is the issue with Hillary Clinton, they're going to go out of their way to vote. So it's not just Republicans and men that don't like Hillary. There are a lot of independents, and it's not just men. There's a lot of women that don't like her. She wants to be the first woman president. She thinks she's entitled to it. She thinks she's owed it. Frankly, she thought she should have had it in 2008 and was cheated out of it. But there's a problem. There's a big, dark cloud over her head. And that is the issue that Bernie Sanders said the American people are sick and tired of hearing about it. Well, that might be the case, but the reason why people that follow this are interested in it, there's a high probability, bordering on certainty, that she's committed more than one crime, felonies, regarding the handling of classified information. And that was information that was either sent and or received by her over that email server. And that's what the FBI is investigating right now. Many people that are quite familiar with the law in this area, and there's two sections of the law, and I've done a past show on it, so I'm not going to review that other than to say she's definitely not off the hook. Because I've made the observation, if she were anybody else by now, as a minimum, she would be a target of that investigation. In other words, they suspect criminal behavior on her part, or she would have been indicted. The only reason she hasn't is because she's the Democratic leading candidate for president of the United States. And Barack Obama does not want to take her out and probably will not take her out. So what are the chances of Joe Biden running for president? I still think they're pretty good. Why? On October 22nd, Hillary Clinton has an appointment with the House Special Investigation Committee on Benghazi. And they have been in private talking with upwards of over 40 witnesses, people that were there in Benghazi, people that were on her staff. And the emails are really incidental to this. And remember, it was this committee that spotted the fact that Hillary Clinton was not using a Department of State server for her emails. and pointed that out, and that's where the problem began with Hillary Clinton having this separate server. So why in this debate emails were not talked about that much, really very briefly, and were dismissed by Bernie Sanders, it's not going to be dismissed by the American people. And it's certainly not going to be dismissed by the FBI. If crimes were committed and they have the evidence, I firmly believe they will go after Hillary Clinton. Now, that involves getting the approval of the Attorney General as well as the President. This is a highly politicized matter, but there's no love lost between Barack Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Michelle Obama, and Hillary Clinton. They don't like each other. The only question is Obama has to make a decision. Who does he want to be the person that is considered his third term? Is it Hillary Clinton or is it Joe Biden? I think the answer to that question is very, very clear. It's Joe Biden. The only way Hillary Clinton will not get the nomination is she either is indicted by the Department of Justice, the federal government, or the FBI announces that she's in a target of a criminal investigation. That's what the FBI does. It engages in criminal investigations. And they're not going to do that unless they have evidence. And that's what they've been doing. And I think they have a lot of evidence. But that's not the only group that's been digging into what Hillary Clinton has been doing. And that other group is the committee that's investigating Benghazi. Now, Hillary Clinton tried to dismiss this as simply a partisan effort to discredit her, to bring down her numbers. And she's citing the majority leader's comment, Kevin McCarthy. And it was really an out-of-line comment that the chairman of the investigative committee of Benghazi, namely Trey Gowdy, blew a stack over. I want to know what happened, why the United States was in Benghazi, what was the Central Intelligence Agency doing there, and what was the role of Hillary Clinton, both before, during, and after. Four Americans lost their lives, including Ambassador Christopher Stevens, and several others were seriously wounded. So the role of Hillary Clinton in that entire episode, and it's several months, including all her emails, are entirely relevant. Oh, yes, it will impact her poll numbers depending on what questions are asked and how she answers it. And remember, if she lies under oath, she's opening herself up for perjury. So it's going to be very interesting watching. And I believe I'm almost certain, this is going to be an open committee hearing. It's going to be televised. And that will get very high ratings. And that's not too far away. That's October 22nd. Now, she might want to reschedule it, but I doubt it. She wants this behind her. And I don't think she's going to perform. As a matter of fact, I seriously doubt she's going to perform. And that's the right word, perform, as well as she did last night. Last night was a friendly audience, both in terms of the people on the stage as well as in the audience. It was a selected audience. And why I'm not a fan of Anderson Cooper, I don't watch TV, but occasionally on YouTube I'll listen to some of his clips. I think he did a very professional job in questioning all the candidates. I wish he had spent a little bit more time on the other ones, but that's his decision. But he asked, I think, fair, tough questions. What you're seeing is they know how to not answer the question. Hillary Clinton is very good at that. Her problem will be, while you can get away with that with a reporter, you're not going to be able to get away with that with a trained prosecutor that is very, very good in terms of cross-examining a witness. If you're not responsive in answering the question will be asked again and again and again. So what will be very, very much interesting television will be Hillary Clinton's appearance at that committee on October 22nd, and supposedly the attorney for Hillary Clinton says she'll stay there as long as they have questions. Well, that might be a long time. So that's what I'm waiting for, and I believe that's what Joe Biden's waiting for. That's not that far away, folks. It's 8 days, about a week from now. Mark it on your calendar if you're a political junkie. I think it will, to some extent, rival the Watergate hearings involving President Nixon. I don't know if it'll reach that level of interest, but it certainly is in the same league as that. And I think we're going to hear some very interesting facts that the American people aren't aware of, some of them pertaining to classified information in the emails. But I think a lot more is going to be pertaining to, for example, what did she do and what did the president do on September 11th, 2012, when they became aware that the diplomatic annex was under attack by terrorists, by jihadists affiliated with Al-Qaeda. Anwar Sharia was the group that was attacking. They're affiliated with Al-Qaeda. And these were professionals. They were firing mortars, and as a result, they killed two people, for example, at the CIA annex, as well as two people at the diplomatic facility. Fortunately, the people that were there, they had their own security, former Navy SEALs, one of which, I think both of them were Navy SEALs that died. And it was lucky for them because that group was trying to take out the CIA station that was there, mainly because they thought they were double-crossed. But all those details need to come out, and I hope they also, and this is what I'm waiting to see. I still have my doubts we'll ever know what happened officially at Benghazi. The only way we will is the people that were there that were CIA, as well as the contract employees, have to testify. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be a tough event for Mrs. Clinton, and it could be the end of her candidacy. Now, she's trying to dismiss it. Oh, that's just a bunch of Republicans being partisan so I don't get elected president. That's the standard Clinton defense. The other is, I don't recall, I don't remember. You'll get a lot of that, too. Mark my words. I don't recall. I don't remember. I don't recall. I don't remember. So it's going to be very interesting in a week from now when she has an appointment. Now, the question is, will she show up? Well, we'll see. Second question is, I hope Trey Gowdy and the people that work for him have done their homework and are ready for her. I think they should be by now. They've had plenty of time. And you need a very, very good person to cross-examine her. And I don't know who that's going to be. It's probably, part of it will be Trey Gowdy, and he's a former federal prosecutor. So he knows what he's doing, but that doesn't mean he's the best person to do the cross-examination. Because if you hire someone that's, their entire job is digging into what happened to Benghazi, in other words, they know most, if not all, of the information, and combine that with someone that's very good cross-examining witnesses and knows the testimony behind closed doors, the sworn testimony of the people on Mrs. Clinton's staff, I think it's going to be exciting television, and I'm definitely going to watch that. I have to make arrangements for that, but I believe it's in the day, probably start about 10 or 11 in the morning and extend to however long it takes. So to summarize, I think Hillary Clinton clearly won the so-called debate yesterday. Bernie Sanders came in a second, but a distant second. And why he obviously won amongst the people that are the true believers and believe that socialism is the answer for America's problem, and the problem of America is we have billionaires. Well, I don't think that's a problem. I just wish we had a lot more of them. You see, what you need to understand, wealth, income, and jobs is created in the private sector by people that take risk, invest their money, their time, take risk, and to the extent they do make the right decisions, they're successful, and that is rewarded in the marketplace by rising stock prices that make them wealthy. And that's how Donald Trump made his money, and that's how most entrepreneurs, business owners make their money. It's success. It's not who you know. It's not politics. It's not networking. It is running, operating a business, making many, many, many decisions every single day. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sometimes you're near bankruptcy, sometimes you're very wealthy. And even if they go bankrupt, they bounce back, and before you know it, they're successful again. There's a track record of that. And I think Donald Trump will be, as of right now, things could change, will be her opponent in the 2016 presidential election. What I think, and I've talked to a lot of people, and almost everybody, including me, likes Ben Carson. The more I hear about him, the more impressed I am with him. But right now, he's trailing Trump in many states by at least 5 points, but in most states, 10, 11, 12 points. Unless he can get an awful lot of money and an organization together, he's not going to win. He might come a close second, but second doesn't matter. Many of these states are winner-take-all. Some are proportional, but some states, I believe Florida, for example, it's winner-take-all. So if you win, clear majority win, you take all the delegates. And that's what this is about. It's not poll numbers. Poll numbers are simply a snapshot that give you an indication at a point in time how are the candidates doing. What's more important when you're looking at the polls is what is the trend? And Donald Trump has the right trend. He's going up, up, and up. Yeah, occasionally one or two days or a week, he might go down a little, but he's actually, looking at the most recent polls, he's extending his lead over Carson. And I know he's already planning and has in the works to make sure he's on the ballot in every state. And he's hired one or more firms to prepare the ads you're going to need to run on television and radio, especially the 7 to 14 days prior to the primary, and sometimes even earlier. You got to reserve the television time, the radio time, and then you obviously have to have the message in that commercial. So he's doing that. What I'm not really clear about is to the extent he has an organization that can get out the vote. Why you can rely on campaign commercials, ads on television and radio, as well as flyers going out to the registered Republican voters in a state, you still need people that are working for you, part of your organization, to get out the vote. So the extent that Donald Trump is doing that, he'll win. That requires a lot of money, a lot of time and money, and apparently he's doing it. From what I've read, he's doing that. And I'm assuming Ben Carson, as well as some of the other candidates, are doing that. But here again, we get back to the money. Everyone knows they need to do this. The question is, do they have the money to do it? And you need to understand, it's why early on, it's just one state of it at a time. Once you get into the March, you're talking over a dozen states. So it's not so you win just one and then get a little money, then you go on to the other. No. Starting in March and April and May, there are multiple primaries. You need to pick your states. If you have enough money, you can be in every state. And I think Donald Trump can, as can Hillary Clinton. And that's the problem Joe Biden has. If he is seriously thinking about, I know he's seriously thinking about, but if he is definitely going to get in this campaign, he has to do it real soon, and he has to raise a lot of money. And there are too many people, I believe, committed to Hillary Clinton, both in New York and Hollywood, in L.A. area. Now, Obama obviously would like Joe Biden to be the next president. And he could help Joe Biden. I don't think he's going to be neutral in this, but it has to be real quiet. And obviously the Clintons and Hillary Clinton in particular are not going to be happy about this. They don't want Joe Biden in this race. The best thing that could happen is he stays out, because then it's Hillary's to lose. And Joe Biden might decide that. But it's very, very tempting, especially when you've been vice president for 8 years. You know what the job entails. You're obviously on good terms with Barack Obama, and he supports you. It's very difficult not to run, and apparently his wife has given the okay. So I think Joe Biden is still a factor. I'm not writing off Joe Biden. The Clintons and some of their friends in the media would like to say, well, this makes it a lot difficult for Joe Biden to get in the race. I think that's jumping the gun. That's what the Clintons want you to think, and that's what many of their allies in the press want you to think. Don't count Joe Biden out yet, because what he's waiting for to see what's going to happen on October 22nd. Because October 22nd may be the day that Hillary Clinton is brought down one or more notches. Now, do I think whatever she says at that committee is going to stop her from running? No, I don't. I've said it earlier in the show. I've said it on a previous show. The only thing that's going to stop her and get her out of the race is the FBI gets the approval of the Obama administration, the attorney general, to seek an indictment, and they get an indictment. And the other thing is to say that Hillary Clinton is a target of a criminal investigation by the FBI. Once that happens, that makes it extremely difficult, I would say bordering on impossible, for Hillary Clinton to continue. Because once the American people say the FBI has gotten an indictment, that means they got evidence, solid evidence. You're not just going to automatically get an indictment, although prosecutors can have the reputation of being able to do that. but there's politics here. The FBI might have a lot of evidence, but it's really up to the FBI director, the attorney general, and the president as to whether or not they're going to go forward with it. And apparently, someone has broached the subject with Barack Obama. I believe it's Valerie Jarrett. What about pardoning Hillary Clinton? What I'm hearing, he said, I'm not going to talk about it. And that's a smart thing for him to say. He doesn't want to even think about it. But that might have to happen. If she won't get out, even with an indictment, the only way to save Hillary Clinton's possibility of being the next president is to grant her a pardon. And you got to be somewhat specific as to what you're pardoning her for. What are the crimes you're pardoning her for? The only way up to right now I could see Barack Obama doing that is really after the election, should he lose. But he might have to do it prior to the election. He doesn't want to do that, folks. So what that means, I seriously doubt the president and the attorney general, as well as the FBI director, will give the okay to seek an indictment from a grand jury. I don't think it's going to happen before the election. And we're about a little over 12 months away from the election. And what, eight or nine months before the convention? See, the Democratic Party wants to control the White House. That is their goal. And right now, Hillary Clinton is it. She's the it girl or the it woman. There is no plan B. Bernie Sanders is not plan B, nor is O'Malley. They're not really credible candidates. This is sort of like it is a performance. She needed some opposition, someone to challenge her. And they're only going to have a total of six debates. So there are only five debates left. And I think what's going to happen is at least one, if not two, and maybe even three of the other candidates are going to drop out. So where the only people on the stage will be Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. And again, I'm not the American people are not impressed with Bernie Sanders, and neither is the donor base. They don't want any part of him. So he's never going to be given the opportunity to become the candidate, even if he could by hook or by crook win one or two primaries. So what? The name of the game is you got to have the majority of the delegates to get nominated, and Bernie Sanders will never get that. And Bernie Sanders understands that. I think what the Democratic Party is doing is a propaganda effort to give the appearance that there are some challenges to Hillary Clinton. Well, I understand that. Now, what could happen? Let's say Hillary Clinton is really grilled by either Trey Gowdy or one of the attorneys that's responsible for questioning the witnesses, and she doesn't do very well. In other words, the October surprise is sprung. See, what the witnesses don't know is what other information the committee has. And they have been talking to a lot of people, and they have a lot of emails. And all those people had to swear that they're telling the truth. So Hillary Clinton has to be real careful what she says, because if she says the wrong thing, they might have other evidence, testimony, as well as other emails that contradict her. And that means she can't be trusted. In other words, she's lying. Oh, she's going to say, I can't recall, I don't remember, many times. But she's going to have to answer many of those questions, yes or no. She can't pull a Chafee and say, well, you know, my father just died. I really knew nothing about the legislation I was voting. That won't cut it. She says anything similar to that, she's done. So this is rather a warm-up for that committee. And Hillary Clinton, like I said, as far as I'm concerned, she won. And that is the general consensus. The only few people that disagree with that are primarily, not entirely, Bernie Sanders supporters. Bernie did okay, but okay is not enough. Okay when you're number two and a distant number two is not enough. Bernie Sanders needed to win, and he needed to go on the attack against Hillary Clinton, and he wasn't up to it. He wasn't going to do that. He gave her a pass on the emails. Once he did that, that was the game. Oh, he had his moment where the crowd clapped. Even Hillary Clinton turned to him and shook his hands, because that means she was off the hook. But that moment is fleeting. That's not what he needed to do. He needed to go after and challenge Hillary Clinton. And to some extent he did, but not enough. And the media today are celebrating the fact that Hillary is back. She's on her game. She's rested, looking good. knows, she's obviously practiced. She knows the answer. She was terrific. Not really. Why? Because in some of those questions, for example, take the trade, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. For years, she has been a supporter of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And there's multiple, many YouTube clips where she's saying that repeatedly. She was a good soldier. For who? President Barack Obama. And that is an issue that Barack Obama is not happy with, that now she has reversed herself. She has flip-flopped. Now, she flip-flopped for a reason, because several of the people on the stage are also opposing Obama. And it has to do with getting the support of the unions. The unions, with some exceptions, are not for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's why she flip-flopped. But the key point here is that you need to know, and most people were not watching this debate. That's the one thing that's going to save her. People were not watching. They weren't even aware there was debate. And even if they were aware, they were like me, not watching it. In my case, I don't have a TV, so I didn't watch it. So to summarize, and I need to wrap it up, Hillary Clinton won the debate, but she's not out of the woods yet. She definitely has to do, if she could do what she did last night in front of the Benghazi committee, then Joe Biden's not going to enter the race. I don't think that's going to happen. If she falls down, and I think that's likely, at the Benghazi committee, Joe Biden will enter this race. And Joe Biden, his reputation, he's liked. He's a likable guy. Hillary Clinton doesn't have that reputation. People don't like her, don't trust her. Her key problem is trust, and that goes to her integrity and goes to the fact she's a known liar over many, many years. So stay tuned. We'll have about 8 days or maybe 9 days, and on that show, we'll find out what is going to happen. With that, let me close out the show with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.